You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
A place of being a conduit of God the Father's love for the fatherless, that I learned some things that my dad already had pioneered about what the agape love of God is. You know, that God is agape. They don't just do that love.
Now, people throw that word around, but people listening may not know. Even I'm kind of like, I remember I heard the word, it means love. But give us the ramifications of that.
Okay.
Word.
Well, agape, it's the Apostle John that wrote that God is agape. It's not just something that God does. That's their DNA. The Father, Son, and Spirit
is love.
They are love. That's their DNA. That's their nature, to love.
Isn't that wild?
And a lot of freedom goes with that. But what they're wanting is for that to be reciprocated, to be returned to them freely.
That's a good question. Now, I will tell you this, that I got born again. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I'm 29. I wake up in the night. There's a flood coming out of my chest, painfully, like water. I get up. I go into my dining room, and I'm imbued with love.
Yeah, right.
Now, some people said maybe that was a down payment of heaven. I remember thinking, oh, Lord, put a robe on me. I'll just go out and hug people and love people. And and I realized I'll never eat again. And I said, if you stay like this on this level, I'll die. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit washed through my head, went down to my chest, through my body and out my feet. Because I realized it was a visitation. It was a gift. Now, my question to you is, okay, so he loves us. He makes... And remember the movie, The Purple, whatever it was, Steven Spielberg did? And at the beginning of it, she says, look at all these flowers that say, I love you.
Yeah.
Or love me. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we see butterflies. We see ladybugs. We see eagles. We see giraffes. We see all this abundance. Mm-hmm. It's all, he's on the give, constantly on the give, on the give. He gives us breath. He gives us life. He gives us family. He gives us friends. He gives us food. He gives us the variety of flavors we can taste. It's all a give, 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 give. Okay, now, so if you come to recognize that, okay, somewhat, and I only know, minuscule, but appreciate what he did, but how I want to know, how can I love him back?
Correct.
Because I want to give to the Lord.
To reciprocate.
I want to say, what can I do? And people listening to this broadcast, I would think that if they love the Lord, they want to, what can you do? Okay, I know I'm supposed to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit those who are in prison. That's one thing, loving the God in people. What would you say? How can we love God back?
Well, you know, I believe that the Holy Spirit, you know, the Father and the Son have sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, to inhabit us, all right? And that is the Spirit of the Son, the Spirit of the Father, and the Spirit leads you. The Spirit is in charge of your education and your maturity, all right? Because you start as a little baby with a seed of faith. And you're supposed to grow into increasing ability to be generous to your fellow man and to reciprocate back to the Lord.
Not to be religious.
Right. It's not anything about religion. Yeah, it's not anything about that.
He broke my heart once, and it went on for 2 years of physical pain. I said, why are you doing this to me? And it was a death of a relationship that caused it. But and he said, because I had to deliver you from a spirit of religion. Mm-hmm. And I went, what does that mean?
Because you couldn't grow forward in that environment, right? If you're in that box and God has growth for you.
And self-righteousness.
Sometimes he has to get you out. You know, and awful things happen to force that, you know, that look terrible. But in retrospect, as an older person, you can see God was delivering me from something. So
a lot
of us
have had a lot of pain. I've had a lot of pain. But
of course.
And we're all going through different levels. So I don't know where somebody listened to this. If they've gone, there might be ahead of me. They might be behind me. They might be beside me, around me. I don't know.
Right.
But so I've been asking God why it seems like, and he let me be a child for many, many years.
Yes.
But has there been some abrasiveness that's happened, you know, late in life, a lot of deaths, a lot of this, a lot of that.
Yes.
And then he's introduced me to the fact that Jesus learned obedience. Mm-hmm. It's written in the scriptures by the things which he suffered.
Yes.
Jesus was a man acquainted with many sorrows.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that we only grow in the valleys, not when we're fat and happy. You want to expound on that?
Okay. Well, you know, Jesus is our forerunner. So, like, he came to be born and retake the tests that Adam and all of us have failed. You get it? And so obedience became important because what Adam and Eve and all of us as their offspring are disobedient.
Yeah.
All right? You get it?
And I've even been disobedient after I've
And so it. He retook sure the tests and yeah. passed them for our sakes.
Yes.
So that we an enablement and a power would be there for us to be able to build the relationship with God in such a way that it isn't following religious rules. There's a love relationship with God that makes you want to do what pleases him.
It's his kindness that leads us to repentance.
Correct. And you want to do what pleases him because you love him, because he's loved you, because he flooded your body with the agape and you experienced it,
yeah.
and you believe and you know. And now you want to love him back. And that may be father my children in another country, might be doing a radio show. I mean, for every person, there's a unique path or call about how we're supposed to implement that service and that love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what I believe.
Love is the litmus test.
It is.
You shall know you are my disciples.
Absolutely. By the love. That's right. That's the mark. And it can be counterfeited, but only for so long.
Okay, let me ask you this, though.
Mm-hmm.
There was this famous cartoonist recently who died. He said, I was going to wait till my dying, to the end of my life, and then I'm going to, you know, accept Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Right.
Well, he's now died, and he's the guy who did Dilbert. And mm-hmm. he came forward and said, I accepted Jesus, you know, a few days before he died or whatever.
Yes.
But you can't, it's not an intellectual conversion. You can't orchestrate repentance. In other words, like if you go to church sometimes, you ever go to church and you know you've gotten swallowed up in the world and maybe you know you've yelled at somebody in traffic, whatever your sin is, and all of a sudden you feel a contriteness because the Lord says a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering candle he won't snuff out. So he says that a broken and contrite spirit is of very great value.
It is.
So all of a sudden that's even a gift. You're in church and all of a sudden,
yeah.
The Holy Spirit enters you and you say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm truly repentant.
Right. Yeah. And there's humility that goes with that.
You can't get born again just by saying, well, okay.
I mean,
you know what I mean? Like the Jews used to go out on the Sabbath,
mm-hmm.
and they were not allowed to go into town on the Sabbath.
Right.
So they filled their pockets with pebbles, and they threw a pebble in front of them and stepped on it. And technically, they would get all the way into town stepping on their land because they stepped on their pebbles.
Mm-hmm.
How silly to think that you can manipulate God.
Right.
Well,
it became ludicrous.
Yes.
And that's what Jesus met, you know, in the Pharisees and the religious Jews of his day. And they were off on some tangent that had nothing to do with a journey to intimacy with the Father. Had nothing to do with that. It was self-righteousness. You get it? And that is not the way.
Our only righteousness.
Correct.
Is the righteousness of Jesus.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And it takes a certain humility to acknowledge that.
Yeah, because even
to
Christians.
To say, I can't do it, did it.
Recently, they were criticizing this guy who killed Charlie Kirk online and Facebook. Well, we're going to stab him 10,000. I mean, not that they said this exactly, but we're going to stab him 10,000 times, cut off his head, blah, blah, blah. I said, wait a second.
Yeah.
You're proclaiming you know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
This young man, let's say he did kill Charlie Kirk. The bottom line is, though, while he's still breathing, he can be converted and become our brother.
Mm-hmm.
We're to love, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, all of us had the potential of doing things like that. And if you think that's not true, then you're missing the point. Because if your life was really laid like on a projector, like a light projector, you know, where the light was coming through you, you'd see what I call the degenerate nature, right?
Yes,
all right.
Yes.
The deed, God is generous. It's gene. The gene is agape. That God is love.
That's his DNA.
That's the DNA, and that's the gene. So God is generous, but in the fall, all right, in the fall, we became degenerate, all right? Degenerate.
Degenerate.
You get it? So degenerate is that I'm going to do what's... now. I'm going to look out for number one.
Yeah.
And as a religious person, I'm going to look out for the religious number one, which is me. Mm. You get it? That's what the Apostle Paul did. He saw that. In his former life, and God even had to change his name because he was Saul, using the religious system for his own furtherance and
he signed
career.
Warrants,
yeah,
for Christians to be murdered.
He did.
He was a Jew. He was a Pharisee, highly educated, a Greek citizen.
Right. But then, when he awakened to it,
knocked
him off his donkey, and then he saw. And so, you know, when you talk about the mind, I think the mind is all the parts of us are important because it says to be renewed be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if you think wrong, you've been taught wrong, it can lead you down just the garden path of futility. You know what I mean? And so it is a heart thing. It is a mind thing. It's a spirit thing. All the components of who a person is need to come into alignment. And that's really what we call regeneration. Regeneration is putting back in the gene of agape that God is in place of the degenerate nature that you have had.
So that's why at the foot of the cross, a lot of the old paintings, we see a skull.
Yes.
The skull represents Adam.
It does. And death and fission, decay. This the
fission.
Yeah, fission decay, which is just like falling apart.
So a molecular structure?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we live on this earth, we are living in the skeletal remains of what once was paradise.
Yes, and we're all dying. We're all...
Yeah, look at me. I mean, no, we're used to it. Mm-hmm. I'm 72.
Right.
Hair's getting thin. I said, I'm literally dying before my friends.
Right.
But we're so accepting of it. Well, this is the way it goes. Where we would be horrified if we were in paradise and saw somebody like that. It's like when you see a child who has accelerated growth syndrome.
Yes.
And, you know, they're 14 and they look like an old man. We're horrified. Well,
correct. But there's a living hope. Because with
regenerate.
Christ with Christ in you, and it isn't just your soul or spirit that goes to heaven. There's going to be a resurrection of your body.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
The dawn.